It's time to get groovy. So let's smoke some weed and watch a movie. It's Highly Regarded with your host, Robin Luce. Hi, Robin.
Happy holidays and hello and welcome to Highly Regarded, the only podcast on the naughty list. Today, our guest is one of my dearest friends in the Los Angeles area and one of my favorite comics on the scene. You can follow him, keep up with his stand-up shows, with his skits. Pretty soon, you're not going to be able to not see this guy. We have got Elliot Mack on the show. Elliot, welcome.
Hello.
Hello. It's so nice to have you.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
We're as happy
you.
As we can be.
As happy as you can be. Any what's on your Christmas list this year?
What is on my Christmas list? I want to hopefully see my friends. Hopefully, like, if like COVID calms down enough, I can like go up and see them for New Year's. We all got tickets like 2 weeks ago. We were like, let's see each other for New Year's. And now we're like, it's going to be hard to do that.
It's always fun to gamble,
yeah,
right?
It's always
exactly.
fun to gamble.
Yeah. Buying it's like a lottery ticket now. It's like, will it work out? Will it not? You know,
yeah.
You got a higher chance of getting struck by lightning, but it's always worth a chance.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll just have to see.
So you and I met at Haha's stand-up club in the Valley. It was the first night I ever attempted stand-up, tried it. I actually just went to like scope it out. I wasn't even gonna like go for it, but like you were so funny, had such a welcoming vibe. I was like, I can do this. I can pull this shit off.
Thank you.
So how did you get into stand-up? Like, when did you fall in love with comedy?
I fell in love with comedy when I was about 12.
Yeah.
Because I used to do acting in like plays and stuff as a kid, but I was really bad at them. So one day my dad suggested I try improv because like I don't need to memorize lines. I can just kind of like do whatever. And I tried it at Second City because I'm from Chicago and it stuck. I was like, wow, that comedy is the coolest thing ever. This is what I've always loved, but never realized it. And then all through high school and all through college, I was doing improv classes on Saturdays and like doing sketches and stuff. And I took a few stand-up classes even when I was like 15 and 16. But obviously like as a 15 or 16 year old, you can't really open mic.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I got to LA and after I graduated, within 6 weeks, I think of like just doing open mics and stuff, I showed up at the Haha Cafe and there was no one there to host their 8:30 mic. And I was like, okay, I got to practice for this like competition I'm doing in a week. Like I got to practice my set, get it right. So I just like set up my phone at 8:38 when like no one had come for the 8:30 mic. And just started doing shit. And like 2 minutes later, like two guys walked in, then two more walked in and they were like, no, keep going. Like, this sounds funny. Like, finish your stuff. And so I did to these like four people that had now come in and I didn't know what to do with the mic. So I just like handed it to the first guy who walked in and he was like, okay, cool. And he did his set and he didn't know what to do with the mic again. So he just like kind of like handed it to me and I was like, oh fuck, I'm hosting.
Oh, wait a second. Yeah.
But I just like went with it. Like I just went with the vibe. I was like, let's just have as much fun as we can. Like, and I loved it. And then after that happened, the guy who ran the club was like, hey, I heard you guys having a lot of fun out there. Do you want this night? And I was like,
yes.
Yeah. Yes, please. Like, and so I just took it really seriously. I like wanted to make it like the biggest open mic I possibly could.
Yeah.
This actual comedy club was letting me host their Saturday 8:30 mic. Like, that's not nothing, you know? Like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And so it taught me how to host. I was doing like weekly time. It was really cool. And then you came along one day.
And then there I was. Who would you say are some of like your comedy icons?
I would definitely say Kristen Wiig saved my life when I was like 12.
God save.
She is so funny. And then right now, in terms of stand-up, I would say Eliza Schlesinger and Michelle Wolf tie for first.
Eliza, we love you so much. Please.
She is the best.
I worship the ground you walk on.
Yeah, right.
She is everything.
She's so funny. And then also, like, really important to mention would be, like, Trevor Noah and the other, and Seth Meyers and, like, the other late night hosts.
Yeah.
I would love a late night show someday. I think that would be awesome. Just
You'd
showcasing.
Be the ideal late night host.
Thank you.
And you have all this experience literally hosting now.
Exactly. So. Yeah. I can literally host a thing. Like, it's amazing.
You can host your ass off.
I'm so good at hosting too. Like, I love hosting and like, I'm very good at it and I'm proud that that's a skill, you know, like.
Who would be your dream interview on your late night show?
Any of the people I've mentioned so far.
Yeah.
You.
Stop.
We'll throw Gandhi in there.
Yeah. Just for funsies.
Yeah, just for funsies. Like someone high energy.
Just somebody like for the girls.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Tiffany New York Pollard would be awesome.
Yes, yes.
Oh, RuPaul too. Like,
absolutely. Having studied stand-up from a pretty young age, from 15, what do you think, like, in those classes is the most valuable thing you learned that, like, you take out on stage with you every time you perform?
When I was first learning stand-up, I was like, I don't want to rely too much on gay jokes. Like, I don't want that to be, like, too much. I don't want it to be a crutch. I want to prove that I can do other things.
Yeah.
And my teacher at the time, Brian Bowden, who I love to this day, he's, like, one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Yeah.
He was like, Elliot, no. Being gay is who you are, and it is everything, and it gives you a unique perspective on the world.
Yeah.
And none of these other bitches have that. Like, you have to use it. Use it as much as you want, and it'll make you unique. And it's who you are. And I was like, okay, period. Did not expect that from this, like, straight father of a man, but that was really kind. And so that has definitely, like, propelled a lot of my sense of humor and my, like, I have a big angle of trying to work it for a straight crowd and for a gay crowd.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can come from the perspective of, like, oh, like, I am gay and this is how I see the world.
Yeah.
But when I'm in front of a gay crowd, I'm like, I am gay and this is how we see the world.
Yeah.
Literally, the first time I did stand up in front of, like, an all, like, queer crowd at the LGBT mic at Tao Comedy Studio, it was like that scene in Naruto when the guy takes off his ankle weights and they just, like, crash to the ground and he, like, crushes it. Like, that's how it felt.
Just fucking levitating.
Exactly. You're like, yeah,
these are my people.
Yes. Because they get everything. Like, they know who all of, like, Thus and Such Company is, or, like, whatever pop culture reference you're going to make.
Yeah.
They get that. Whereas for straight people, you need to be like, so there's a very important person named Beyonce.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you know
that. I don't know if anyone's heard this name before. Hands up. Have you?
Everyone's okay, just silent.
Half? Yeah,
one guy
exactly.
scratches his ass. Like, they're all confused.
Exactly. Cricket sound effects.
Exactly.
Go on. Yeah. And then you grew up in the Midwest studying comedy and gay. So how was that for you? Like, did you face a lot of prejudice, like, growing up gay in the Midwest?
I came out when I was 13. So I was really young. I was in middle school. So in middle school is definitely the hardest. But I was in a pretty liberal part of Chicago that was very diverse. And so by the time I got to high school, that all cleared up.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that, you know, it was ever easy for me to, like, play a sport, you know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I didn't feel welcomed to do that. That's not, like, you know, like, it was just, like, hard in terms of that. But also growing up in Oak Park, it supports so many diverse backgrounds and so many new ideas that it really exposed me to, like, social justice at a young age. And I ended up going to Berkeley, and that just kind of opened up even more, like, a lotus, you know? And I got to see so much of the world that is hurting and that needs to change and stuff. And so I'm very thankful for how everything turned out, you know?
Yeah. And how do you think your childhood growing up, like, influenced your taste in comedy or your style in comedy?
I am super gay. I'm super gross. I love, like, raunchy stuff. I roast a ton.
Yeah.
Because I had brothers growing up. So, like, I'm very quick at the mouth. Like, if I want to have a good set, I'll just look around the room and just be like, all right, how do I feel about these straight men around me?
Yeah.
And, like, I'll literally just get up there and I'll just, like, fry the shit out of these men. And everyone's like, oh my God, he's so funny and sassy. And I'm like, and I'm glad, like, you think that, because I had a great time doing that.
Yeah,
like, that was excellent.
I got some stuff off of my chest.
Exactly. And also, like, as, like, in stand-up, you kind of got to swing your dick around a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, like, when you really see stand-up at its best, like, people are up there swinging their dicks around, and both interpersonally and on stage, you got to kind of do that.
Yeah.
And for me, as, like, a more feminine man, a lot of people want to count me out, and a lot of people want to put me in a subordinate position to them.
Yeah.
Because that's how toxic masculinity works, and it's really helpful for me to just get up there and say, no, fuck that. Fuck you. I am funnier than all of you bitches.
Exactly.
And I will prove it,
like,
right off the bat.
I have the mic. I can say whatever I want. And I'm going to not only make you look stupid, but unfunny too.
Exactly.
So
yeah. I'll make you look stupid with my words. And then with how well I do, I'll make you look unfunny by comparison.
Exactly. So do you want to go down this road?
Exactly. Yeah. I will fight all of you bitches hand to hand in combat.
Right now.
Right now. I brought my wraps.
Yeah, I did it. I've been jump roping, like, warming up in the back.
I'm not insecure about anything.
In the mirror. Yeah, exactly.
There was, I got called a faggot to my face a few weeks ago at a show, and so I was like, and I've been doing new material, I've been doing a new 5 minutes every week in quarantine, mostly because it's the same, like, 13 people you end up seeing. So they learn your jokes really fast. So I don't want to be caught out, like, oh my God, I'm in quarantine and I haven't been writing anything. So I've been doing new 5 minutes every week, and I was like, great, like, I'm absolutely going to talk about this because it's something that big that happened in my life, and it's I messaged the guy afterwards and I was like, hey, you called me a faggot to my face tonight. And it really wasn't like cool at all. And he was like, first of all, like, I totally did not do that. You're like blowing it up. It wasn't like that. I didn't do that. And I'm sorry if I did. Like, and I was like, I was sitting next to my friend in the back of a comedy show. You came up to him, did not acknowledge my presence, even though you see me around, did not acknowledge my presence. And three sentences into you talking, you said this guy was being such a faggot. Ooh, sorry. He was being really annoying. And he snapped in my face. So I know you registered my presence. I know you passed judgment on me as a gay person, and you would have said faggot anywhere. It just slipped out in front of me.
Exactly.
And you snapped in my face.
Yeah, you snapped in my face. And then also the fact, like, if I went up to somebody and I was like, that girl's so ugly. And then I looked at you and I was like, no offense, Elliot. Like, I just called you ugly. Even if I didn't say, Elliot, you're ugly. Like, being like, oh, sorry, no offense. Like,
exactly.
That's like, you implied. Bitch, come on.
Exactly. Like, no, I literally, like, one of the first things I said was like, if I yell, bitch, sorry, Rachel, like,
yeah.
Does Rachel have the right to be like, what the fuck, you called me a bitch? And then am I supposed to be like, you're blowing it out of proportions?
I never said you were a bitch.
I don't know why you're taking it so personally too. Yeah. Like, honestly, to tell you the truth, you need to toughen up if you're gonna make it in comedy and be an adult about this. That's what he said to me. And when he said that, I was like, okay, first of all, hell no, that is some white hegemonic bullshit.
For real.
Absolutely not. I am not weak, because standing up for myself to you and against, you know, your internalized and externalized homophobia is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of strength. So jot that down. I just like really was like, you're gonna have a problem with me until you can learn to coexist with me on my terms. Like, you're not gonna push me around, you're not gonna swing your dick around in my face, like,
yeah,
boom. So I was doing material about that, and it was so hard to get straight men to care.
Like, oh, I bet.
The heart of that story, because I like punch it up and I'll do it like for stand up, but like the heart of that story really revolved around like, does anyone care that I got called a faggot to my face? No, not really. Yeah. Like, I shouldn't be so I was yeah.
You're like, guys, anybody? They like probably said it like three times on the way there. They're like,
the one lesbian in the crowd is losing her shit. So that's good.
But she's like, this is good stuff.
Yeah. But no, I had done that story the next Friday at Fourth Wall, where you will do like more than one show back to back usually.
Yeah.
And it's just like eight comics, just like working stuff out. And I did it, and it pretty much bombed in front of, you know, like seven straight white guys. Like,
yeah.
And there was one other guy named there. He was there. I'm not going to name him, but he was gay too. And he went up and he crushed, and he was very masculine presenting, like, he has jokes about how he looks like a trucker and like he plays sports and drinks beer and stuff, and you could not clock like the queerness.
Yeah.
And everyone loved him. And so for the next like hour, I like went in my car and sat for 5 minutes, and I was like, well, I feel like shit now. Like, I feel so unfunny and stuff. And then I was like, wait a minute. No, like, he is just the straight guy that you all want me to be.
Exactly.
This is who you want me to be. And I'm not doing that. So I got up there and I said that immediately, because I followed him in the next hour. So I was like, okay, like, that was really good. He is the gay man you all want me to be, and you're not fucking getting it.
Yeah, for real.
Mm-hmm. And I also like punched up the set. So I ended up doing better. And he and I talked about it after the show. And he was like, when you said that, like, you were my biggest hero in the room, like, that was so cool. And we talked for like 2.5 hours and just like vibed about being gay in comedy and like our different experiences. And it was really, I'm glad I did that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because like, if they want to say like they're fine with you being gay or whatever, it's like, but they still act so strange about like presentation. They can't handle anybody like behaving any way that's not like overtly masculine at all times, which to me, it's like Harry Styles just did his Vogue cover in a dress and everyone's like freaking out and calling him a masculine stuff. And to me, it's like, I think it's so much more masculine that you're comfortable enough and confident enough in your identity that you don't give a fuck in what people think.
You'll just
that
do art.
You're so insecure that you're like, oh, if someone sees me in a dress, they'll think I like a penis and I'm going to kill myself and cry.
Exactly.
It's like, what's masculine about that? About like you being like, what if somebody thinks
what if
that
somebody
I
else
like
is gay?
Boys? What if a boy kissed a boy? What would I do? Besides a late night show, what projects do you hope to see yourself doing in the future?
A late night show. No, I would love to do SNL. That has always been my dream.
I feel like you just belong on SNL.
Thank you. Like, I really, like, that is my energy. I know I give it off. I am a very sketchy person. I love sketches. Like, I'm very into that. Colin Jost dies, I'm happy to take his place. I would love to be his successor as the next snappy white boy
we
on Weekend Update.
We can make that happen. Look out, Colin.
Yeah. No, yeah, I would definitely like to do that. I want a tour. I want Netflix hours of stand-up. I want it all. Big into comedy. I would love to do a White House Correspondents' Dinner and follow in my girl Michelle Wolf's footsteps.
Hell yeah.
Very politically minded person.
For our last question, if there was anything in the world you could change, what would you change?
The way we approach climate change.
Yeah.
100%. Like, first and foremost, and that is also to say, like, a sustainable future cannot be achieved without first eradicating wealth inequality and racial inequality.
Yeah.
Like, those absolutely. Are two, and gender inequality. All of those things need to happen in order for us to have a sustainable, equitable future. So I think that the way we currently shape environmentalism, I think that is the main driving, what should be the main driving force behind a lot of our efforts coming forward. I think we need to fix the gender wage gap. I think we need to defund or abolish the police and bring about programs that are going to provide for racial equity in the United States. And I think we need to start taxing the shit out of corporations and billionaires.
Hell fucking
they
yeah.
They don't need that money. And we need to start redistributing that wealth to education programs, to the kind of political action we need to be taking such that we can reduce the amount of carbon we are emitting into the atmosphere and all that.
Exactly.
All that good stuff.
If there's one thing you could recommend for our listeners to do to help in some sort of way, what would you recommend?
The number one thing we can all do as individuals is to stop eating red meat. Definitely, that is the thing that absorbs the most water, the most energy from the earth. Because of trophic levels, it is about 100 times worse for the environment than eating wheat or plant-based things. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So definitely, like, I'm not even saying go vegetarian, like, have all the chicken you want. If there is one thing you do, like, we need to end the red meat industry. It's not good for the planet at all.
It's not popping off. All right. Well, you can follow Elliot on Instagram at Elliot Mac.
Yes. 1L1T. Elliot 1L1T.
And Mac is M-A-C-K, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Keep up to date with his stand up. If you're in the LA area, come see his shows, especially once COVID's not a thing. You can keep up to date with his sketches, and we will definitely have Elliot back on because I'm obsessed with him. So thank you so much for sitting down for the interview, Elliot.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And now it's time to move on to my personal favorite segment of the show.
Oh my God.
It's time for Skip This Segment If You're a Shitty Person. That's right. We know you're drinking, smoking weed. It's the holidays. It's COVID. How could you not be? Things are depressing enough. You probably don't want to be bummed out more. But guess what? Bummer shit is happening and happened, and we need to talk about it. So today we are going to be talking about the case of Pharrell Scott. He is 57 years old. He's from Pennsylvania. He's a father of three and a grandfather of four. He's from Dallas, Texas, originally. He's married. He prefers coffee to tea. His favorite food is salmon. And he loves true crime novels. Pharrell Scott has been serving 11 years of a prison sentence, though, in Allenwood, Pennsylvania. In 2010, Pharrell Scott was charged with conspiracy to distribute marijuana. He had two previous arrests, one for possession of marijuana and one for a driving infringement, which made him technically a third strike case. His case has been reviewed by all sorts of boards, panels of experts, and law schools. He was assigned some of the best attorneys for clemency positions. One of the two prosecutors who tried Pharrell's case even wrote a letter supporting his clemency, and yet he hasn't received any relief.
Wow.
So he was found to be communicating with a group of three men who were also charged for conspiracy to sell marijuana. Only one man in this particular case was ever caught with marijuana on his person. He got life without parole.
What the fuck?
He got life without parole. So as of now, he's 10 years in to his life sentence. And he wrote a little something that's on candoclemency.com. You can also sign his petition on change.org. We'll have all the links on our Instagram at Highly Regarded Podcast. Pharrell writes, "I've accepted my responsibility for my offense, and despite my poor decisions in the past, I am much better than my worst mistakes. Life has a way of waking a person up, and I am on red alert. A life sentence is like a walking death sentence, and it weighs on you in a way that I cannot explain. You have to live this to understand how it feels to be in this situation. Some days it's hard to breathe. I've always been a family man, and I've been a great father to my kids. In fact, I think my biggest accomplishment in life is being a great father to my children, and I want to get out to be a part of my grandchildren's lives. I look forward to the day when I no longer will have the heartbreaking conversation with my granddaughter about incarceration." Again, we'll provide all the links, ways you can help. Pharrell is in the USP Allenwood Penitentiary. We have his PO box, all the ways you can contact him, and all the information about mailing through the federal prison system on our Instagram. Again, at Highly Regarded Podcast, you can send Pharrell books, letters, money, personal words of encouragement. You can sign the petition. There's lots we can do to help, but isn't that fucking insane?
That's incredible.
Incredible. He hasn't even gotten a chance to meet his four grandchildren. One of them's named after him, and all because of a conspiracy charge, a possession charge, and a driving infringement.
That's absolutely asinine. That is unfair. That is infuriating.
Yeah. I mean, literally, I can't even get the word justice system out of my mouth, because it's such a fucking joke to think that our prison system and our legal system is just in any way, shape, or form in this country.
Mm-hmm. It's bullshit, and it needs to be reformed immediately. This absolutely should not be happening to anybody.
No, no. You shouldn't spend the night in jail for marijuana, let alone your life.
Your life.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to explain to your granddaughter why you're in prison.
It's so horrifying. And it has nothing to do with those charges. It has everything to do with race and institutionalized racism.
Exactly. Because, of course, Pharrell Damon Scott is a black man. That this is not by any means a rare story is disgusting. And right now, the only thing that can save him is clemency. He was denied clemency by the Obama administration. Wow. So the more signatures he can get on his change.org, hopefully in the next administration, we can see clemency for him. So make sure to support him, you guys.
Absolutely. Please do everything you can
for
this case and all of the hundreds of thousands of other ones we don't hear about every day.
Exactly. But on a lighter note, welcome back to the Skippers, who are shitty people. You made it. It's time to reveal which movie we are watching.
Yay, I'm so excited.
So, I mean, you know it's holiday season. So, you know, essentially it's a holiday movie.
Okay.
But take a guess.
Home Alone.
No.
Is it a Hallmark movie?
It is not a Hallmark movie.
Mariah Carey?
Is not. Mariah Carey's not in it.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Fucking yes.
Oh my God, yes.
But which version?
The live action one, because you like longer movies.
Yes. God damn it, Elliot. Yay. You know me too well. I can't be guessed.
I'm so excited. This movie's so campy.
Yes. I'm going to be drinking and smoking. I'm sure you'll hit the dab pen. I'll make you.
I'll speak to my lawyers.
See how we'll make it work. And we can watch Jim Carrey and some fucking Cindy Lou Who looks.
Oh my God. The mayor's wife.
Yes.
In that, the look she turns, literally, that is what inspired all of Drag Race, I think.
Just the concept of drag. It was already a thing before it was meant to be.
When she fires the minigun of lights onto the house in her Mrs. Claus and just goes on the thing after. It's oh my God, what a gorgeous moment.
Yes. Well, are you ready to?
Yes, let's hit it.
Let's fucking do it. Let's do it. Woo. I don't even have to finish the sentence. All right, you guys, we'll be right back. All right, we are back after watching the 2000s version of How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Elliot, how are you feeling?
I feel fantastic. That is one of my favorite movies of all time.
It can't not be. It is one of the most magical films.
Did you choose The Grinch because you think I'm Grinchy?
No, I chose the Grinch because I think you're extra.
And he's very extra.
And this is like the most extra movie like you it can really think is. Of. Like they really went the fucking balls all the way wall. With yeah. this. Yeah, they didn't pussy out on any part of this film. Yeah.
He said bitchin' at one point. He was like, the sun is out and the snow is bitchin'. Like,
Dr. Like, yes, Seuss queen. Was like, the Grinch is a Christmas story and the 2000 a Christmas children's story and the 2000 film was like, is it?
Yeah, right?
Is it a children's story?
I have so many thoughts.
Is it really? Fucking me too. Real quick, let's talk a little bit about the background of it. So okay. How the Grinch Stole Christmas was written by Dr. Seuss, of course, and it came out in 1957. There's been a animated TV version, the 2000 live action, and a 2018 computer animated film. The book was co-edited by Dr. Seuss's wife, Helen, who had ongoing medical problems and who had suffered a small stroke at the time, but she helped him finish the book. The film was directed and produced by Ron Howard. Production started in 1999. The film debuted in November of 2000. The budget for the film was $123 million. Oh, and it gained a box office net worth of $345 million worldwide, making it the second highest grossing film behind Home Alone until both films were surpassed by the 2018 version of The Grinch.
Serious?
Yeah, that became the highest grossing.
The highest grossing holiday film of The Grinch?
Is, yeah. And the highest grossing holiday film of all time is the most recent Grinch.
Wait, more than Star Trek or Star Wars, I mean?
Holiday film.
Oh,
so like
just
Christmas
in
movies.
Films.
Yeah,
I was like
exactly.
The biggest movie ever.
Ever. You're like, I'm sorry. I'm oh gonna need you to back the fuck up.
Okay,
no.
Just in terms of holiday. Okay, so the bar is actually really, really low.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So the bar's dirt is
I
what you're
confused.
Saying.
I was confused. I'm sorry. So you're competing with Hallmark films. All right.
Yeah. Except Home Alone.
Yeah, all right.
Did make $476.7 million in the box office.
Wow.
So okay. they were dealing with some numbers. Those were some
yeah,
stats.
Fuck, they've been duking it out. The
yeah.
divas of the Christmas season.
For real. The film also won an Academy Award for Best Makeup and was nominated for Best Art Direction and Best Costume Design. And the sets are still available to see on tour in Universal Studios on their little set tour as well.
The costume, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You can see that shit. All right. All that shit being said, first off, let's just discuss Jim Carrey as the Grinch mm-hmm. itself. I mean, you couldn't have anyone else playing the Grinch. He does such a good job in this. I think his physical comedy, like, comes into use so much in this role.
100%. Sure. Wait, yeah. Comes into who?
Comes into use in this role.
And comes into use, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Jim Carrey playing the Grinch. Yeah, like...
Absolutely.
His whole facial expressions. And they added a lot of backstory in this version.
They really did. They made it seem like the Grinch's people were, like, another race living on their planet.
Yeah.
A completely different, like... Like aliens, you know, like...
Yeah, like he's like a little adopted baby.
Exactly, yeah. And like his people are like very strong metallurgists and probably had like a military science division that was like off the hook.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
The fact that one of them alone with some supplies from like the dump could like invent rocketeering and yeah. like airbags and shit.
Can you imagine?
And
oh my
vertical
God.
Flight, like... Jesus Please. Christ, the Who's must have been terrified of the Grinch.
Like, they must have been like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Also, I love that in this version, they like have a little context as to where Whoville is precisely, because it's not in the books, but in this, Whoville is actually in a snowflake.
Range. Oh, yeah, it wasn't a snowflake.
Yeah. It's within a snowflake.
Which is like string theory. That's another advanced thing that we're
exactly.
learning about.
Exactly. So, okay, we're opening up with string theory in the film.
Your
yeah.
universe is within universes, kids. Buckle up. Nothing's real.
Get ready. And then it's also said in this movie, so Jim Carrey, to get into makeup, had to do about 3 hours of makeup and then 2 hours yes, to queen. Get out of it. And it was so uncomfortable that it's said that he actually like discussed with an FBI agent on torture resistance tactics. Like he actually had someone like teach him how to like resist being tortured because it was that uncomfortable for him that like to be in it for hours, he had to like learn ways to
cope. They were like, deal with it. We're not going to make it more comfortable.
Yeah. They're like, some snot-nosed kids need to watch you fucking make a silly face, Jim. Get on set.
That sucks. I'm sad it hurt him in any way to do that.
Yeah. But like,
what a performance. He really threw his whole self in. What a trooper.
Yeah. He really fucking did it. So we're in Whoville. And again, this is all live action. So like, obviously I'm assuming every human being's read a Dr. Seuss
yes.
like book. Like you've seen mm-hmm. the illustrations, all the buildings, there's no straight lines. They're all like so cattywampus
it's
for
so
them.
Whimsical.
It's so whimsical for them to build actual like structures and facades.
There was a
like
drywall
that.
There that was curved. It was incredible.
It's insane. Like I can only imagine like
the art department
fucking popped off.
The art department of it all.
The art department said, this is our time to shine.
Out of the way, Steven Spielberg.
Shut the fuck up, Ron Howard. We've got shit to say.
Get the light bulb out of the icebox. We need one more.
Right now. But and the makeup, because all the Whos have like these like
prosthetics,
snouts, whatever you want to like fucking call them. Their nose is weird, but like, cause you don't just have to put that makeup on like your leads. You have to put that on every goddamn extra, not to mention the hairstyles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were insane. Like those, like Cindy Lou Who's wig, that thing. That must have been, she like went upside down in that.
It's fully the size of her.
It's
like
the
her
size
hair
of her. They probably had to make
her.
So many of those to yeah, just like fuck
for
up.
For real.
Like, the money.
The money, the time, the effort that goes into making this story live action.
Mm-hmm.
The fact they actually did it.
It's so campy. It looks cartoony, but in real life.
Yeah, it's perfect. And it's exactly like that Dr. Seuss feel because he does have that like campiness and that over the topness.
It really is brought to life. It's like a good day at the circus or something.
It really is. Yeah. Dr. Seuss originally wrote this story as like a commentary on the commercialization.
Period.
Yes. Of Christmas. Do you think that Christmas is over commercialized? Does it does it ruin it for you?
I do think it's really over commercialized because in a way it is just a time to indulge in capitalism.
Yeah.
But also it is supposed to be a time for family. And I think the Grinch reminds us of that very important aspect of the holidays, that it's not about anything but being with your family.
Exactly. It's about what you make it about.
Yeah. And you guys are going to fight, you know, it's not always going to be perfect, but that's how we're humans.
Murder each other. Probably.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. It's Christmas. So many people get murdered on Christmas.
Break some shit. Do some metallurgy.
Do what you have to do. But
dump your husband.
Yeah. Do it. You know
crash
you need
to. Crash a car
to.
And set a tree on fire.
Leanne, this is an intervention. You need to leave him. But the film does take like a lot of liberties. There's a whole new backstory. New
when he's
songs.
A baby.
Yes. He's a little.
No, there are songs in the original. Oh, I guess not in the book.
No, there's new songs.
Oh, new songs.
Yeah. That like the Cindy Lou Who's Christmas.
Which was really, she crushed Christmas? That. She
spat
that shit.
She ate.
She was spitting on that mic in the booth.
Yeah, we were like, damn, Cindy.
Damn, Cindy Lou Who. The pipes.
Pop off. Where are you Christmas?
She sounded like a sweet little harmonica.
She really did. I was like, okay, little motherfucking angel on the beat.
Did you know she grew up to be Amanda Bynes?
Are you serious?
Yeah, that was Amanda Bynes.
Oh, no. Oh my god. Oh no. I thought you meant like she went Amanda Bynes. Like
oh,
she
no,
pulled
an
Amanda
Bynes.
Yeah. No, 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 no. But
she just got a nose job at 16. No, that's not fair.
Okay. Yeah. That's not fair. Sorry, girl.
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
Isn't she like goth now, though? I think I saw that.
I know nothing about her. That was
we'll track her down. We'll find pictures of her for the Instagram. We could go into Cindy Lou Who, her fam, or we could talk about the icon that is Martha May Whovier.
I was just going to say.
Oh,
Miss Martha May Whovier. May.
May.
Be that bitch. Has been that bitch.
is that bitch.
Will forever be that bitch.
And she's another. She's not in the OG. Mm-hmm. They created her, and thank
she's fucking so sexy.
God, they did. Oh my God. She's
when the
like,
Grinch like sets the tree on fire and she gets thrown like 10 feet to the side and she just goes, Oh, wow.
Christine Baranski plays her and mm-hmm. just brings her to fucking
life,
that icon. Serving looks. Yes, she's in Mamma Mia. She's one of Meryl Streep's hoes.
In oh my God, I gotta see that movie.
Mamma Mia. She's in The Good Wife. She's like kind of one of those people where it's like she's everywhere. She was in Eloise at the Plaza. If you saw that fucking iconic film.
No.
And the Christmas special. So she basically fucking like lives in Christmas movies.
I see that. She is very and destroys Christmas it. Movie. She's yes. very like Naperville, Chicago. Like.
Yes, exactly. Not only when we first meet her, she has this like fucking lights cannon.
Oh my God. The light minigun.
Yes.
And the at the end.
Right after she like fucking yeets all the lights on.
This antique was worth $500 million. But this is new.
And fucking Cindy Lou, who's mom's like, fucking fine.
I felt like she was about to reveal like a nose job or something.
But this is new.
This is like an even bigger yeah, hoose
exactly.
Now.
Just like fucking 10 inches off of her face.
Looks like Pinocchio.
She's like, God damn. When we meet her, she's serving like the cutest Santa Claus dress. But then at the end of this movie, she has this like blue satin robe with these like fur trim, and I'm just like, costume department, where are you to yes. like style my life?
Speaking of costume department, I think Baby Grinch was a puppet.
I think he was.
That's
yeah.
insane. I never would have clocked that.
Yeah.
I never thought about it as a kid. Like, I didn't know if it was like a little ass like dude or like CGI or something.
He kind of looks like a Furby. He has those like eyes of a Furby.
He only ever moves like know? A Furby too. He's always like,
yeah.
Like to the sides. His elbows yeah. didn't really bend ever.
Yeah. So in this movie, we find out why the Grinch is so against Christmas. So why is he
because
the way he is, Elliot?
He is all alone and no one will celebrate with him.
Yeah.
And so he's been villainized for that.
And they bullied him when he was a little kid.
And then they bullied him again when he was an adult and came yeah. back.
And then he was like, hey. And then they're like, no, you still suck. And they're like, fuck.
But then he came and brought back all their presents and they were like, Christmas.
And they were like, wait, hold on. You're fucking chill.
They were like, oh my God. Okay, so you're, okay, we're good.
We're chilling. Meanwhile, Cindy Lou, who the entire movie is like going around, like spouting the main lesson. She's like, yo, you guys, Christmas isn't about gifts. It's about loving people. And they're like, shut the fuck up, you stupid little bitch. And then 2 hours later, they're like, wait a goddamn second.
This guy is awesome.
Cindy was onto something.
He can eat so much fudge.
And he has his little sidekick, Max.
Oh, Max is cute.
Fucking everything. I wonder how much of like the little like quips and lines in this movie Jim Carrey ad-libbed, because like there's so many little jokes that just go like
there have to be a lot. I mean,
so
like,
fast. Yeah,
a lot of the dialogue, I think.
Yeah,
he was given like a suggestion that would just to how that was done.
Yeah,
that speaks to like somebody riffing and being in the moment and like
exactly because it moves so fast and it like feels so like him, even when he's in the mail room and he's like assigning like everyone shitty mail and he's like jury duty, blackmail, jury duty.
Oh, that's
like,
so
yeah.
good.
Just amazing.
I totally feel like that sometimes.
Right? That's my dream to just be able to do that.
And then just like the vibrato in his voice when he yeah. does it, it's so infectious because he's methodically thought about it so much.
Exactly. He has those like highs and lows that
he probably
like,
wrote a lot of it himself because he was a character improviser and actor.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't he on SNL or something? Like
he was.
He was on SNL? That's what I thought.
No, he was on like a Canadian version of SNL.
Oh, okay.
It was called.
But he would still like do a lot of monologues and performances and characters yeah. and impressions
and
in
like
his
sketches.
Act,
yeah.
Even exactly. in stand up. Yeah. And so he probably just wrote it.
Honestly, yeah. And at this point, I mean, this was 2000, so he was very famous. Mm-hmm. And Ron Howard, who's like incredibly famous, was doing this. So I'm sure if you have a big name like Jim Carrey, like a comedian of that caliber, you're going to be like, go for it, like play with it. Like if there's something you feel like is going
to
work,
we have
like
a whole team to help you make it work.
Exactly. Go for it. Like make something up.
Okay, go crazy, dude. We built this whole thing for you and you're going to be awesome. They were probably so nice to him.
Right? Dare I say, go crazy, go stupid. Oh, yeah. When we meet
him, he definitely did that for real.
It was an onion and it was teeth and it was a mouth.
It was sorry to get gross, but like he had to put fake teeth in his mouth and then chomp on an actual old onion to be in character.
Yeah.
And like let it through his teeth. Like it was crazy.
And I don't put it past Jim Carrey. Like I know he does that shit.
I mean, like, it seems kind of fun. Like, yeah, he might have been that kid who ate worms, but it's fierce to see now. Like,
but he getting that check. So
yeah, he's getting checks for this. What are you getting checks for?
Yeah. Who are we to judge? Yeah. So The Grinch, for anyone who hasn't seen it, is like this furry green creature living in the mountains. And like Whoville is all about Christmas. They pop their pussy for Christmas, this town.
And honestly, like it is kind of cute just to see like a little world where the only thing that really happens is Christmas.
Yeah, they're like, this is it. This is what we live for.
Also, I wanted to bring up how like the Grinch lives in what is probably like a $200 million who dollar home.
Right?
In the side of the mountain. Like I bet all Grinches like want to live like that kind of, just like these like trolley and stuff. But yeah. Like, trolls can be cool. Like
the square footage in that mountain is
I bet he had like a subterranean pool that was like lit up by like glowing fungus or something.
Absolutely.
Which sounds incredible. Like,
I mean, he fits like all these insane inventions in there. So I can only imagine.
Like volcanic shit. At the
basement. 2018 movie, he has an organ like in there, like a full,
like a big long room with books. In a fireplace.
Yeah, like
oh, that's so funny.
Full organ. Yeah.
And like a tall chair.
And I believe it. Yeah. So he's honestly secured a little bag for himself. How did they get it in? You know, I have a lot of questions about the logistics behind that, but that's for another podcast.
He built it himself,
podcast.
Just like he built that rocket sled.
He does have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he did build a rocket sled out of trash as a baby, so.
Mm-hmm.
But also one of the like caveat moments that he gets like really roasted for, where all the who's are like is when he like tries to shave for the first time and cuts the shit out of his face.
Yeah, which is like sad.
Did you cut the shit out of your face the first time you shaved?
I actually thought of that.
Yeah,
I actually thought of like the Grinch shaving and if I was going to have like bloody dots of toilet paper all across my face when I went to school. But like they're never really I never really grew a beard. Like my face has been like pretty bare, so like I didn't even put the razor there. There was like a little bit on my upper lip and I just like went with like a razor over this like centimeter of face.
Yeah.
And so I don't think there was very much to fuck up, you know? So sometimes I'll get like a little red if I'm not careful, but
it's pretty straightforward.
I was really convinced that my whole face was going to be gouged out just like the Grinch is.
Exactly. You were like,
I was so careful because of
that Grinch. Yes. This taught you a lesson.
And Home Alone, never to use aftershave.
Yes.
He made that shit seem like acid in your pores.
Christmas movies really taught men everything they need to know
about
shaving.
If someone is invading your home, you need to put a bucket of molasses right behind the backyard gate so their hand gets all sticky when they try to get in.
This is the life information you need. Exactly. And if there's an old hermit in the mountain, go on up there, invite him into your home for the holidays. These are the lessons we need to be teaching children. And within the theme of Christmas, what is the best Christmas present you've ever received?
When I was like 7 or 8, my dad got and constructed a Simpsons pinball machine.
What?
And his boyfriend at the time helped him construct a box around it out of 2x4s. So they wrapped it.
Oh my God.
And like we like tore down this enormous present and it was like a pinball machine for the basement. And it was like the sickest shit ever.
Oh my God, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. That's like a dream gift.
And my dad worked really hard on it. And I was like, thank you. Like he built it. Like
yeah,
it did not
so
come
thoughtful
assembled.
Too.
Right?
I love that. I think the best gift I ever got was my mom like is a blacksmith. And she made me a mirror with like metal flowers.
Holy shit. Wait, your mom is a blacksmith?
Yeah, she is.
Oh my God. She smiths?
She smiths. She's a smither.
Oh my God, smithing 100.
She's beyond her smith shit.
Can she make like a sword?
Yes.
Oh my God, it's so cool. That's incredible.
How about that? She will.
Will she make me a sword or perhaps a lance of some kind?
Oh, she'd be happy to fancy your lance. Ah,
excellent.
Yeah. And then if you had to get a Christmas gift for the Grinch, Cindy Lou and Martha May Huvier, what are you getting them?
Cindy Lou Who, what would I get her? I would probably like take her to like American Girl or something.
That would be a treat. Yeah,
because I didn't know much about that until like I was driving past it and one of my friends explained like what an experience it was for little girls. It basically sounds like the amusement park.
Oh yeah.
But for like a little girl.
I never got to go to the American Girl store, which I discussed with my therapist, I did. But I did have two American Girl dolls that I got over my time, and it was like that moment in Christmas movies where like you unwrap that box under the tree and it's like fucking the best thing that's ever happened to you in your life.
That's crazy. That's so cool. So that for her, and then for Martha May Huvier, honestly, like tickets to a Kim Petras show or like a rave or like Black Girl Magic in Chicago. Like, I just want to go to the club with her.
Yes.
She would be so fun.
For real. I want to share a joint with her.
Oh my God. She's like an Amanda Lepore or like.
I'd smoke a blunt with her.
I would. Oh my God. That'd be so fun.
Be everything. And then what would you get for the Grinch?
Oh, for the Grinch? Launch codes.
Give the Grinch the nuclear
arsenic or
codes.
Something. He probably just wants something like crazy. Yeah,
something like that. I'd probably get him deodorant. Like, I'd get him like something he
That's
doesn't want.
Triggering.
What he,
okay,
what
Robin,
he needs.
What the fuck?
Well,
you saw
I know.
What he did to him and he got a razor and you'd get him deodorant. I get, asshole.
That's fair.
What the fuck? Maybe that's how he smells.
But what if it was like onion deodorant?
Oh, then I'd
be
like, love that.
You love it. But it'd also be like.
Like an apothecary, but gross.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be really sweet.
Really thoughtful.
If you just like get him like compost to use as like a face mask, he might actually be into that.
He would probably be so into it.
He probably has such a strong immune system.
He would, yeah.
Because he lives in the trash, basically. Like,
yeah,
and he thrives
the trash and the mountain and the cold.
Do you know
and that high atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what a Garbodor is?
No.
It's a Pokemon that's made completely of trash.
Oh my God, that's me.
It's they're so cute.
That's me.
Like, they're such big, ugly idiots, but they're so cute.
Same. Yeah, this is just more me.
I didn't mean to impart that at
made
all.
Made of trash, big, ugly idiot?
No, yeah, no, you're not. I'm not reading you, girl.
Ellie, it's like,
I didn't mean to make out about this ganja. Yeah.
Then I think I would get Martha May Huvier something from Agent Provocateur, like some lingerie. I feel like she'd eat that. And then I think I'd get Cindy Lou Who, probably like, I'm going to steal yours, an American Girl doll. I'd get her like a nicer American Girl doll than you would get her, and I'd probably show you up.
I highly doubt that, Robin.
Give me the best American Girl doll you have.
God damn it, yes, she's having tea with her doll.
All the add-ons.
Kick all the other girls out.
Give the doll a wheelchair, I don't know.
Let her discover Mercury. Because, you know, there's like the scientist ones too.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Get a little Marie Antoinette one with like a little, like, what do you call them? The little
guillotine.
Guillotine, a little guillotine for her American Girl doll, the head detaches.
No, for her peasants.
Oh, for her peasants. How adorable.
Do you remember in Stuart Little? Do you remember that movie?
Oh, hell yeah, I remember Stuart Little.
I forget why I was thinking about this, but there was that one kid who just had that one boat that was like five times the size of everyone else's boat, and he was like crushing kids. I was like, why the fuck did this kid have a warship? Like,
what? Who gave him this?
Does no one else see? He's just like ruining the days of all these other kids.
Who thought this was a good idea?
Who installed weapons on this barge in the middle of Central Park Pond?
Who is chaperoning?
Is it safe? I think there's guns on them.
Is this safe? I don't know if this is safe.
Okay, but back to the Grinch. There are, as with all products for children, really sneaky little jokes for the grown-ups in there.
There really are.
Like at the beginning, when the first baby who wafts down with his umbrella, the one guy, he wakes up and he's like, oh my God, our baby's here. That's weird. He kind of looks like your boss.
Yeah, like.
And then they just cut. Like,
and then they're just like, yep.
We did that.
We'll just leave that there.
Oh, shit. The kids don't know what it means, but you know what it means.
You know what it means. Am I right, parents?
High five.
Getting a little side dick. We can all relate.
Hell yeah. Now he's going to eat this plate.
Hell yeah.
Crunch, crunch. He has the pancreas of a champ.
This guy and his pancreas.
His overly active pancreas.
I know. I love like all of those little like Easter eggs and references, like things that they keep in like for the adults. Even like there's a fucking scene where when the Grinch like lands in the like final, everyone's gathering and they're all like fucking Christmas and shit. Mm-hmm. When he lands, he like knocks into Martha May Huvier and his face is just
lands on her titties.
Between her tits.
That's so crazy.
And like kids are like LOL and adults are like oops. Like they know.
And it's weird because like they had crushes on each other and then they haven't seen each other in like 40 years.
And then they're like.
And then it's just like bonk, like. She awkward.
And then she really risks it all for that Grinch dick.
She's like, that was so hot. Like
that was everything.
Oh my God.
Augustus, I can't marry you.
And then like the Grinch is like, whoa, I got a girlfriend. Oh, oh, oh. Ooh. And she's like, oh my God.
This isn't embarrassing at all. Yeah, she turns down that like mayor's wife ring all for that Jim Carrey.
I mean, but the mayor sucked.
Yeah, he did. He
first
did
line, he reminded me of Trump.
Yeah.
But he was like, it's fine, everyone. Like,
yeah, it's a little triggering for us to hear government officials say it's fine right now.
We never would have thought.
Anytime we see that in the movie, we're like, it's a lie. They're lying to you. It's spreading.
Don't believe a word they say. He's back and he's going to kill us all.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's fine. It's
just
a movie.
No one panic while I'm in the town square.
No one freak the fuck out.
Once I'm back in the Roman Senate, you can all go buck wild.
So the Grinch is wronged basically throughout his childhood and he comes up with the plan to steal Christmas.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And he makes a whole big ass map. Honestly, like, I don't have the energy for the type of like revenge plot that he put together. Like, do you know how many houses he has to hit? Mm-hmm. In one night?
I mean, honestly, like 14, like.
Yeah, I mean, it is on a snowflake. That's fair. But yeah.
There were not that many of them. Like, exactly. They just were all really close together.
But, I mean, even 14's a lot for me. If it was like three, I'd be
like. Yeah, if I bar hop to like three places, I'm like, ooh, girl. Like,
I'm like, I need to go.
I need another vodka soda.
I'm exhausted. This is essentially like going to the gym.
Yeah, right.
Do you want to hit this?
Oh, yes, please.
I got you. Sorry, I'm the worst at throwing things.
I got really good at catching things. I grew up as such like a sissy and I couldn't play sports. But there's this one moment in like third grade when I was in an acting class. So I was like 9 years old and I was in this acting thing over the summer. And the teacher like lobbed a book at me. She just like launched a book at me and I just looked right at it and I like caught it like this. Like when Jesus. Like when Gandalf... Or not Gandalf, Dumbledore smacks his hands and the phoenix helps him escape.
Yeah.
In the fifth movie. No, Dumbledore, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I just caught something. Like, I've literally never done that before. Like,
you were addicted to the high.
And so now I just realize, like, if you really look at something and concentrate on it while it's in midair, your reflexes will kind of do it for you. Just really focus with your eyes and then...
Really gotta do it.
I would always be too... Like, baseball... Like, ball's going really fast. Like, it's going to hurt my hand if I catch it.
It's going to hurt me.
I just want to dance, Dad, and do art.
Dad, I just want to dance.
I'm so sensitive. We know I'm bad at this. All I do is cook and hang out with Mommy. I'm a pussy.
I'm a pussy.
Bullying's been a huge issue for me, even when nothing really happens.
This isn't gonna help anything.
And now I'm just like really strong and like, but like actually just jaded.
Exactly. And now I'm strong and jaded.
Yeah.
So,
now I'm just over it. Like
exactly. Much like our Grinch. But yeah. So he commits breaking and entering. goes into everybody's place.
Impersonating Santa. Let's add to the list.
Yeah.
So grand larceny.
Identity theft.
Mischief.
Yeah. Breaking and entering.
Criminal mischief.
Yeah. All sorts of conspiracy charges. Yeah. Property damage.
An unauthorized aircraft.
Yeah. Exactly.
an unauthorized aircraft. Like already.
Fat ass lead. So he breaks in and he ends up at Cindy Lou Who's house. You would think somebody green and furry would be the most recognizable person.
Especially when everyone you know is white.
Like, yeah, exactly. When everyone you know is just like smooth snout noses and white, you'd think that'd stand out. No, this little bitch right over her head.
No, I think she did know, actually. As a child, I always thought she had no idea. And in the book and the cartoon, she has no idea.
Yeah.
She's just sweet. But in this one, she looks at him in a really knowing way.
Yeah.
Where she's like, I just need to entertain whatever your truth is.
Yeah.
Because you've had it hard and I want to get to know you. And I think if I do, we could actually solve a lot.
Clearly, so this is your reality.
Yeah. And you know what? I love that for you. You are living.
You are Santa, sweetie.
There are people in Los Angeles, Whoville, that would pay a lot of money to let you do that.
Like, absolutely, honey. You did steal Christmas, and I'm proud of you.
You have a big personality. Yeah. I think reality TV would be great for you.
Have you ever considered auditioning?
Or Whoville on Jersey Shore?
Yeah. He's like, well, I did try out for Survivor, but
I've done improv before. I've done a lot of improv.
I got kicked out of my troupe, though.
I was that guy.
I was that one.
I was that guy on the improv team. If you can't tell.
The one that never got invited for drinks afterwards.
Yeah. Ooh, I felt so bad about doing that to so many people.
so many people. Yeah, you're like, ouch. If you find out about this will probably be pretty traumatic and character forming for you.
It's crazy. Ooh. The way, like, when people are bad at improv, it's just horrifying.
Yeah.
But when people are good at improv, they're like the greatest friends you'll ever have in your life.
Exactly.
I love anybody who I've ever done a good improv scene with. I have a special place in my heart for.
But yeah. You're like, I love you.
Because I haven't done improv in so long because of stand up. It like rewires your brain, I think, for comedy. But I did improv like every Saturday for like 10 years from 12. To 22.
That's
my roots in comedy. I love that shit.
I love that. Exactly. And I think I just love the comedy in this film, because as much as there's scripted comedy, it does still have so much of that improv-y feel.
100%. No, it really it ignited that in me. And I'm like, this is what I want to do. This is a level of excellence I would love to reach someday in my goofiness.
Exactly. Here we are, we've both grown up watching this movie and have seen it multiple times, and we are both fucking laughing out loud at scenes still. It still fucking holds up.
Mm-hmm. It does hold up.
So if you had to pick one other person to play the Grinch besides Jim Carrey, who would you pick?
Robin Williams at the time probably would have done a really good job.
Oh, you're right.
Anybody on SNL today, maybe?
You know who I think could do a good Grinch?
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader could do an amazing Grinch. I think he could pull it off, but I don't think any could. Yeah, exactly. Because you have to have that right mix of physical comedy and a look, but also that kind of wit as well.
I want to do something similar to Stefan soon.
Oh my God.
I think it would be really fun to channel a little bit of that into something that was more me.
I need it right now.
Just a monologue of a crazy gay guy. And it's really just me, but as I see the world, really camped up.
Exactly.
That might be kind of cute, you know?
A little character moment. I need it. Mm-hmm. I need to see it. So The Grinch is obviously one of the most iconic Christmas stories. Christmas movies, specials, merchandise. What do you think it is about the story that sticks out to people?
Everybody has felt like an outsider at some time in their life.
Yeah.
And this is a story about an outsider who's not understood, but who deserves to be understood.
Yeah. And I think people love a second chance too. And it's all a story about somebody getting a second chance.
You should really get to know somebody. And even then you still shouldn't judge them. You know, you should just give them the same kindness you would want to receive.
Exactly. So overall, I love this movie, love this story, love the music, the characters. I had so much fun watching it with you.
Likewise.
Yes. So you guys can follow Elliot again on Instagram.
Oh my God, you really mean it?
I really mean it. They can.
Yeah. Thank you.
Our very own Martha May Huvier of the podcast. Truly. Oh,
thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel so voluptuous.
Just firing light cannons everywhere yes. he goes. Yes. No, we only say that because he rejected the mayor's proposal.
How fierce would it be if like you made it to like the top three design challenge on Drag Race and it was a Christmas challenge? And for the three looks you had to present, it was like Christmas party, Christmas like nighty, and then Christmas eleganza, and you wore the three looks that Martha May Huvier
wore. Oh my God. That would be an instant challenge.
That would
win.
Be awesome.
We have literally just given somebody like an idea of a challenge win for Drag Race. There you go. Boom.
I hope somebody does that.
Take it, run with
it. I turn over all credit immediately.
Yes, exactly. It's worth it. We want to see it.
Oh, and you know what would be a really good makeover challenge?
Ooh.
The two candy cane ladies, the pink candy cane.
Yes!
How they all, yes! They're just always in the back, like, serving it. They look like those two girls that sit on the side of a stage at a rave in, like, the crazy feathers and the flames and the paint and dance, you know?
They absolutely do. Oh, my God. You're so right.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that would be a sick makeover challenge because you just bring it, you know? Like, it's latex. You could probably buy that from, like, a fashion designer for, like, $400.
Exactly. You can make
it
work.
If you're going on Drag Race, you could do it, yeah.
Exactly. If a movie with a $123 million budget made it work, you can make it work.
Period.
Well, I love this movie. It's such a special one. I had to save it for such a special friend.
Oh, thank you.
Follow Elliot on Instagram.
It's time for Christmas.
At Elliot Mac. It's Christmas time. Christmas cheer. Make sure you can gift us by rating and subscribing to this podcast, leaving a review. You can follow us on Instagram at Highly Regarded Podcast, Twitter at HR Regarded, and we will see you guys next time.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being on. Happy holidays, Elliot.
Likewise. Happy holidays.
And happy holidays to all of you. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.